Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking sneaky ways to lower taxes like a millionaire.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
All right, so it's tax time, right? There's no way for us to not talk about this topic. And, you know, I think around this time of year, everybody's always asking the question, you know, how do I save money on taxes? And those of us who make, you know, a decent income, I would say over $100,000 a year, you're probably thinking, you know, I don't want to give so much of my money to the tax man. I don't mind giving my fair share, but, you know, it can be quite alarming, especially if you've had a really big year, or maybe you're an entrepreneur and in 2016, things just lit up for you and you're looking at the amount of money that you're probably going to have to send in on your tax return and it might be making you sick. And you're definitely not alone. And those of you listening who maybe aren't in that situation, but you know you want to learn ahead and think ahead, I wanted to bring you this podcast. I read this article on the Money site, and I thought, oh, this is such a good idea for a podcast because a lot of these tips are really good, you know, regardless of how much money you have in your bank account. And you know, 2 out of 3 millionaires worry about the tax implications of their investments, according to a survey by the Spectrum Group. And I would tell you that of all the millionaires that I have worked with, that is usually the number one question, is how can I save on taxes? Because the more money you make, you know, the higher your tax bill becomes. And, you know, a lot of people that work super hard that make a lot of money, you don't even have to be the millionaire status, but you just kind of hate to see all your hard work and all your money, not all your money, but, you know, a large percentage of your money kind of trickle out of your hands, especially if you live, you know, in places like New York or California, you know, two of the highest taxed states in the United States. If you live in Europe or anywhere, you know, you guys are used to basically giving up close to 50% of your income. You might get a lot more for that income, depending on where you live, or for that tax bill, I should say. But here, you know, in the US, you know, most of us like paying lower taxes. You know, we don't mind helping social programs, we don't mind helping other people, but we certainly would like to hang on, you know, more money if we can. There's recent research by Vanguard, the big investing company Vanguard, that says that taxes can cost as much as 2 percentage points in returns a year. The price tag? $70,000 if you were to invest $10,000 annually for 20 years and earn 4% on your money instead of 6%. Even among millionaires, more than a third are worried about rising healthcare costs. They are raising, but they're rising as well. Absolutely. I mean, healthcare costs, you know, you might be in your 20s or 30s or 40s listening to this podcast, but let me tell you, there is a tidal wave in the United States coming for us with healthcare costs. They're really expensive. And if you're lucky enough to have, you know, your healthcare covered almost 100% through your company where you work, you really are super lucky. I mean, I've had my own corporate individual health policy, you know, for years and years and years, pretty much my whole entire career. So I've been used to paying what I consider to be a lot of money every month. The last few years, it's just gotten ridiculous. And, you know, if you're a typical 65-year-old couple, it's estimated, Fidelity estimates that you could spend $260,000 throughout retirement just on healthcare. And that is a ton of money if you think about it. I mean, think about what that would do to the amount of money that you're saving for retirement, right? If a large percentage of it is going to go just to cover your healthcare costs, because remember, when you're in retirement, you know, you have Medicare, but, you know, depending on what company you retire from, or if you're an entrepreneur, like, you're on your own, you know, you're on your own to find a health plan that kind of covers the gap coverage. And they're just, it's not cheap. You know, medicines cost a lot of money. Treatments cost a lot of money. We've got deductibles. We've got all sorts of things that go on. You know, a lot of you listening that are in other countries, you know, you don't have that, but you pay higher taxes, right? So somewhere it equals out to just a lot of money. So if you choose a health plan that has a high deductible, you can actually contribute up to $3,350 in pre-tax money as an individual, or $6,750 for a family, in something that's called a health savings account. And I love this. This is definitely one of the sneaky ways to limit your tax liability that the millionaires use. So a health savings account is a super unused, underused, not talked about, I think, enough savings vehicle. Think of it like your health IRA, right? So we have an IRA for retirement, but think of this as like your health IRA. You have tax-deductible contributions, just like in your retirement plan. Your earnings grow tax-deferred, just like in your IRA. You use the funds to pay for healthcare costs along the way, or you can save up the funds in there and actually use them for retirement. So if you saved $6,750 a year, $6,750 a year for 20 years in your health savings account, earning 6% annually, you would have somewhere around $248,000, enough to cover the average medical costs. And withdrawals from the health savings account for qualified, what are considered qualified healthcare needs, are tax-free. So qualified means, you know, something legitimate to pay for your deductibles, to pay for your copays, to pay for your prescription medicine. I mean, there's a laundry list of things. If you just go to Google and type in health savings account qualified expenses, you will see a giant, giant list of all the things that you can use your health savings account for. Now, here's the thing. You have to have what is considered a high deductible health plan that is HSA compliant. So this isn't something that just any one of us can open a health savings account, right? We have to have the type of health insurance plan that is compliant with the health savings account. And if you don't know if you're in that bracket, you know, go ask your HR company or go call your healthcare company and ask them. But if you are eligible, this is a great tool. It's a separate account that you open up just like your regular IRA, right? You can put money in throughout the year. And again, you can invest the money. You can either keep it in a cash in like a money market account, or you can actually invest it, you know, so hopefully you get some earnings off there. But you get an ATM card, like an ATM credit card thing, right? So if you are going to, I don't know, the pharmacy to pay for your prescription, you can actually use the card with the money in your health savings account to pay for your prescription, or not. You can just bank all the money, which is really the trick that a lot of millionaires use, right? Is they're looking for any places where you can stash money, get tax deductible contributions, and also have your earnings grow, right? So if you've not heard about health savings accounts, I really highly suggest looking them up. Next time you have, you know, open enrollment comes up this year, towards the latter part of the year, if you can get a health savings account compliant health plan, it's a really smart tool. I had one for years and years and years. The health insurance I have now is not HSA compliant, so I was not able to continue that account, but the account is still open. It still has money in it. The money's still growing. I can still use the money in retirement. So, you know, once you set it up and you've got some money in there, it's not, you know, I just can't contribute anymore to it, right? But the money's still there. The money's still growing. So another sneaky way to lower taxes is your side hustle. I mean, let's face it. We all have to do something else, usually, other than our job, to make money. And, you know, I laughed like a few years ago when I saw this like side hustle thing start to become really popular. I mean, I feel like I've done side hustles my whole entire life, really. My whole entire career has been, you know, one side hustle. And I don't even know if they're side hustles. They're just hustles. That sounds really bad. It sounds like I'm swindling people out of something, but I'm not. I swear, I'm super legitimate. But when I started my first business when I was in college, you know, I guess that would technically be considered a side hustle, although I made, you know, a full-time income from that and then ended up selling that business. But a lot of people now have side hustles, whether it's a hobby, or maybe you write on the side, or maybe you have a blog that makes money, or maybe you, I don't know, maybe you cook for people or take pictures or whatever it may be. Maybe you do, you have a consulting business. 8 out of 10 millionaires, though, this is a very, I love this statistic actually. 8 out of 10 millionaires who are entrepreneurs built their business from the ground up, according to US Trust Survey. 8 out of 10 built it from the ground up. And, you know, I don't really know any other way. I've built everything I have from the ground up. So only 2% have actually inherited businesses from their family. Early on, when you're just starting your business, and I get asked this question all the time, should I incorporate, you know, should I form an LLC or a C corp or an S corp or, you know, whatever it may be. My advice is always, and this is the advice of this article as well, which I loved, is that be a sole proprietorship when you first start out, right? As a best way to limit your taxable income. Because if you lose money at first, which most businesses do lose money, you can use those losses to offset other income, including capital gains, which is much harder to do if you have some sort of corporation set up, right? So, you know, until you start making six figures, stay sole proprietor, stay just you, right? You get 1099s from all the things that you do. You file those with your taxes. It's easy breezy, you know, but if you really want to seek liability protection, and again, you start getting close to that six-figure income, you know, you might want to look into an S-corp, type structure, which can help you avoid getting really slammed with self-employment taxes. So most people don't know, but when you pay self-employment taxes, or when you pay your taxes, right? When you work for a company, I'm getting all tongue-tied here because I get so excited about this. When you pay taxes through your company, you know, you're paying a portion of the taxes, but then your employer is also paying a portion of the taxes. Well, when you're self-employed and you run your own business, you get the whole kit and caboodle. So, you know, when you're self-employed, you're hit with a full 15.3% tax rate, right? But if you form a corporation, like an S-corp, you can control how you're paid. So for instance, let's say your company earns like $150,000, you may pay your salary of $75,000, and then take the rest is what is called distribution of earnings. Now, this is something that you want to talk to a CPA, talk to your accountant. I'm not giving you advice on this. I'm only giving you the strategy, right? You actually want to dial this in for your own situation, have someone actually really look at your numbers, look at what makes sense for your company, but it's a way to divert paying some of the taxes at a higher percentage rate, right? And again, don't rush to set up a company. I think, you know, sometimes people are like, well, if I have this great idea and I'm going to launch this business, so let me just set up a company and that will make me super legitimate. It doesn't. Nobody knows whether you have a company or not have a company or five companies or 10 companies. Nobody knows, right? A lot of times you're the product, you're what you are selling. And so, don't get totally like, you know, caught in that drain pipe of I have to set up a company, because when you do, you also have to pay most times for a separate corporate return. And I don't want you to pay any extra money, at least in the beginning, until you know your business is legitimate. I don't want you to have to do that, right? So another kick butt, sneaky way that millionaires lower their tax rate when they have a business is they actually hire their spouse and put a really large portion of whatever their spouse makes directly into a 401k. So this does reduce earnings, which is great for taxes, right? But it totally boosts savings. So, you know, that's another great tip, especially if you have your own business. Another sneaky thing is, you know, millionaires, they're just smart with their investing. You know, using tax-sheltered accounts like 401ks and IRAs for investments that have capital gains, and sell stocks with losses to offset those gains. So 401ks and IRAs, you know, they're tax-sheltered accounts, right? That means that everything grows tax-deferred in there, which is what you like, right? Millionaires are just smart about where they put their money, right? So that you can have the best plan, I should say, to lower your tax rate. And this isn't necessarily a tip on saving taxes, but it is a smart millionaire tip that, you know, you should really make sure that you know the price tag of your portfolio. Are there any funds in your portfolio with super high expense ratios that are dragging down your returns? If you don't know the expense ratios in your portfolio, you know, that's your homework assignment to look that up. If you don't know how to do that, ask for help. There are all sorts of places now. We've had tons of interviews with my friends over at Bloom 3Os, and they help manage 401ks. And they're a great option. If you have a 401k, you have no idea what to do as far as investing, head over to Bloom, check them out. Goldbean is another one of our favorites that we've had them on several podcasts for stock investing, helping you pick individual stocks based off the things that you already know, like, and buy. There are a lot of places to turn. You could turn to Betterment and Right Capital or hire a financial advisor. But, you know, a percentage here or there could have a really dramatic effect on your overall cash retirement stockpile. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters, right? All that matters is what you've been able to accumulate and hold on to. And, you know, you should also ask questions. What should I be doing to get to my goal? What's not working? What will this added expense cost in the long run? Whose brain can I pick? Is there any better place for my money? You know, millionaires never stop asking questions. They are super inquisitive, and that's likely how they've gotten where they've gotten, right? It's asking a lot of questions, connecting to a lot of people, making smart decisions, reading books, reading articles, listening to podcasts, you know, the stuff, it just doesn't happen overnight, right? Again, taxes, they're this thing that we have to pay. I don't care where you live, where you're listening to this podcast from. We all have to pay taxes. And they go to do a lot of good in every country. Sure, there's a lot of waste of money by certain governments, but you know what? That's just the nature of the beast, right? But overall, what millionaires do is they do look to find these sneaky ways to lower taxes. Lower it here, lower it there, take that extra money, drive it into their savings, drive it into their goals, drive it into their retirement, drive it into their healthcare, drive it into, you know, building a strong foundation. And that's really how they win. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I think it was fun to talk about these little tips. And by no means am I saying that you have to be a millionaire. Let's get this straight, right? I have known people who have $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 salaries, make all the right money moves, have more than enough money saved, and are living pretty, in fact, prettier than a lot of people who make much, much, much higher salaries. So at the end of the day, it's not always about dollars and cents. It's not always about that. A lot of this is about your mindset. A lot of this is about taking action. A lot of this is about, you know what, you can read all that you want. I can give you all the tools in the toolkit, but you've got to be willing to, you have to be more willing to do this for yourself than I am at teaching you this stuff, right? And so I think that's just something that is sort of in the millionaire mindset. It's just intent on doing whatever it takes, you know, making these smart decisions, you know, getting over financial things that have might have slowed you down in the past, and, you know, being real strategic with your money. That's how it's done. Again, it doesn't matter what's in your bank account. Doesn't matter if you make $20,000 or if you make $20 million. That does not define your future success. Sure, $20 million helps. Not going to lie. Not going to sit here and lie, right? But if you make $20 million a year and you make all the wrong decisions, you're going to be way worse off than the person that was slow and steady at the lower income, all right? So as always, you can follow me on Twitter @ShaunaGame, Instagram @millennial_money.